A town shrouded in enchantment and mystery. A place where magic weaves through the streets, and every corner holds a secret waiting to be discovered. This is the story of a town where the ordinary meets the extraordinary, and where the line between reality and the supernatural blurs. Get ready to be enchanted, to believe in magic, and to discover that the strongest power of all lies within the bonds we forge and the love we share. Welcome to Havenbrook.
Well, hello there, friends.
Hi, how are all of you? Are you excited to be here?
I know we're excited to be here.
And we're excited you're here listening.
Natasha, tell everybody what's going on.
We're playing Havenbrook.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to look into some more mysterious goings on in Havenbrook with not the same NPCs as last time.
Yep.
We got new ones.
Yeah, we do.
We're going to figure out how they work, what their backgrounds are, how they interact together, how they interact with the town, and what they figure out about this lovely community we're building.
So come join us as we return to Havenbrook. It's been a year since Mayor Marcus Whitaker assumed office, and Havenbrook uncovered the true identity of its founder, the resilient and enterprising Charlotte Whitaker. The town's heartbeat has never been stronger. As the sun rises over our quaint, mystical town, the Havenbrook Lighthouse, a newly christened beacon of history and knowledge, the Charlotte Whitaker Museum of Hope, pierces through the morning mist over the calm Lake Haven.
Today isn't just any day. Today is the day when the lighthouse, standing solitary in the center of the lake, will shine its light once more, a symbol of the town's newfound hope and its connection with its real roots, a promise of what's to come. Today is a monumentous occasion in Havenbrook, our bicentennial celebration. 200 years of history, of stories, of people, and of magic, all rolled into the fabric of our beloved town. The Jubilee celebration is in full swing, the air buzzing with anticipation for tonight's main event. Welcome, listeners, to a very special day in Havenbrook.
Our sheriff, Noah Chamberlain, steps onto the porch of his office, the sun glinting off his badge as he takes in the view. His sharp eyes survey the town, his town, the fluttering banners, the bustling market stalls, the vibrant Ferris wheel standing tall against the clear blue sky. In his hands, Noah holds an invitation, the evening's event, the lighting of the lighthouse. His name, embossed in elegant script, stands as a testament to his role in Havenbrook, a protector, a guide, and a friend. As the music of the carnival carries on the wind, Noah takes one last look at the preparation, a soft smile playing over his lips. For him, Havenbrook is more than just a town. It's home.
We pan over to the carnival happening. Almost every store in town has been closed today. Anybody who has a store with things to sell, they might have a booth that you can stop at while you're browsing around. But most people have just closed and declared it a holiday. There's children running around screaming for no real reason other than they're kids and they can and they're having a good time. Carnies who look more respectable than most carnies you've seen are running Ferris wheels and tilt-a-whirls and rides of all sorts. Some have games, the standard things you find at most small-town fairs. Walking up and down, looking at all of the booths, a little gleam in her eye as she takes in all of the wondrous sights, even though it's relatively early in the fair, is Emma Montgomery. Emma is the owner and one of the sometimes bartenders over at Hearthstone Tavern. One of a couple bars in town. The only reason I say that there's more than one bar in Havenbrook is because we started Havenbrook in Wisconsin, and no town, no matter how small, has only one bar. So I'm just saying that.
Usually there's more bars than churches per capita.
Yes, that is how we roll. So it's one of a couple bars in town, but the Hearthstone is less a bar, more taverny, more pub-y. It doesn't have a karaoke night, but it's not a full-blown huge restaurant either. It's just kind of teetering a line where they stay open at night through to bar close, and they serve food, but the most food they serve is served from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. So it does all that stuff. But of the bars in town, it's probably considered the classier option. Emma herself is vibrant, and you can tell just by the look in her shimmering green eyes that events like this are joyful, and she can't hold back a little inner child that wants to just run and play. She's got short, fiery red hair. It's basically like a pixie cut. And speaking of pixie cut, her features are kind of small and dainty. She herself is also on the small side. She's about 5'4". So she's not the shortest, but she's still, she's short. And she wears an old, faded graphic tee. You couldn't tell what was on it if you tried. Paired with a knee-length pattern skirt that doesn't really match what the graphic tee was, but it doesn't matter for her. And a pair of flats. And as she's going around admiring everything in town, she eventually decides to stop and get some cotton candy because she just can't help herself. That's it.
Noah ends up getting into his vehicle and driving downtown, seeing that everything's closed, making his way to the fair to make sure everything is safe and to meet up with his daughter, Lily. Today is a joyous yet sad day, as this is the first year that they do not have their mother with them. Isabella disappeared mysteriously a year ago, so Lily's taking a little harder than normal. So Noah is trying to correct it by making things a little bit more joyous and happy and fun, even if he is hurting just a little bit inside. He makes it to the carnival and surveys the scene as he walks up to check out the games. And strangely enough, he has a urge to get some cotton candy. He grabs a bag, pays for it, and standing over everybody, he's about 6 feet tall. He has this very dark black hair, a very muscular build, basically the poster boy for being a strong sheriff, an imposing figure. but he has these really light ice blue eyes that most women melt in when they look into his deep eyes, or you know you're in trouble because they glimmer when he gets angry. He makes his way to check out the carnival games and chit-chat with people at the booths, making his way around looking for Mayor Marcus.
Mayor Marcus? I think Mayor Marcus is probably... What do we want him to be doing? He should be doing something mayoral, but also maybe silly. So is he answering somebody's important questions, but also playing the toss a ping pong ball into a fishbowl game?
I think what might be fun is if they're doing on stage games with people.
Okay.
Where, you know, they do the carnival game, guess your age, but the people have to guess the age of the people on the stage. So Marcus brought up the town's oldest resident, who is 130, surprisingly. She would be dust normally, but Havenbrook brings out special things in people. If you had to guess, she looks no more than maybe a day over 70. Still runs around, does things. People are worried she's going to fall and break a hip, but she seems to be getting around just fine without any help. She claims the glass of wine she drinks a day has helped her live her long life. And also on stage, the brand newest, freshest baby in town. The brand new, freshest baby in town.
Freshest baby. I don't know why my brain... Welcome to Pot Rod, everybody. Natasha's brain sometimes just don't work. That is exactly what you said the first time as well. But the first time, my brain could only think that you meant the newest, freshest-faced baby in town, meaning baby like newest resident, not newborn baby.
Yeah. Newborn
baby. The second time you said it, my brain clicked in and I figured it out. But I'm so sorry for bringing you all on that journey with me.
As she was connecting the dots, little symbols and
mathematical equations appeared. It was a big, beautiful mind moment, and it didn't have to be. Didn't have to be. It was right there. Oh boy. Hope you're ready for a fun evening
this
with
ride.
Me. Woo. I think kind of waiting off to, not waiting, just sort of there, kind of towards the front of the crowd, as most people have come to expect, is Nell. Just because we're here, and I just want to say that she's also there. Because Sam and I had a discussion.
Yeah, we did. And in tow with her is Noah's daughter, Lily. As Lily spends a lot of her time at the library as one of the few people who actually goes in there.
Mm-hmm. I think Nell and Lily are just sort of trying to guess how old they are. Nell's very interactive with Lily. I don't know. How old do you think Mrs. Tompkins is?
It's Barnett.
It's what?
Barnett.
Barnett is the lady's name, not Jenkins.
Yeah.
You didn't give me one before, so I made one up on the spot.
Said Bella Barnett.
When did you say it? My brain broken. What is...
<didn't>.
Okay. I was going to say, I swear to God you didn't. What is her name?
Bella Barnett.
Bella. Relation to how?
Cousins.
Okay.
Married in.
How old do you think Mrs. Barnett is? Sorry, that was if Bennett. Hell, Bennett, not Barnett. You're picking names too close.
Sorry, people. She's struggling today, hardcore.
I am. But also, you're not helping me. You're making
I'm
it
I'm not
work.
Helping at all. BB. We'll just stick with BB. Everyone calls her BB.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay, BB. How old do you think BB is?
She looks like she could be like 55.
Okay, 55. Do you think we should pick a really outrageous number to be funny?
Let's do it. Let's say 300.
Okay, let's go ahead and say 300. Now we'll raise her hand.
Yes, yes. What was Nell's last name?
Blake.
Yes, Miss Blake.
Me and Lily are going to say 300 and looking damn good for her age.
BB laughs and then waves over at Lily. Oh, so close, so close. Anybody else have a guess? As the crowd gets distracted by the fact that he called you Miss Blake and everyone's like, ooh, just call her Nell.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that, a little bit of not necessarily outwardly saying, because it's Havenbrook. We don't outwardly shame people, but we sure as hell spread rumors. So I think the whispers start immediately about Miss Blake. Who's he kidding? We know they're on a first name basis. This is silly. How preposterous.
Rumors start to through the crowd as they all know that Nell and Mayor Marcus should be together. But they are so thick-headed, they don't even realize it themselves.
Absolutely. Marcus has put a lot of things together in the year that has passed since the lighthouse. He's made the lighthouse a memorial to Charlotte. He's built a bridge that goes out to the lighthouse. People actually go here now. Back before all of that happened, people didn't go to the lake. They didn't swim, they didn't boat, they didn't fish. They just didn't go there. But now it's basically the heart of the town. Mm-hmm. So with all of that, he's had to work a lot with Nell to learn things about the history, delving further into Charlotte's story, finding things to put in the museum about her, things like that. So they've been working together a lot this past year, and it's one of those situations where everyone, even people who've never met them before, kind of at a glance, know something is up. But Nell and Marcus do not. Because sometimes people just are a little slow.
And, well, it just makes sense for the kind of game that we're playing.
Right. Right. They're kind of like the long burn.
As the crowd is just whispering and Mayor Marcus is getting a little flustered because they're chitter chattering. He's like, okay, can anyone guess how old our lovely little babies? As the mom holds up the baby and the crowd goes, oh,
well, that baby is not more than, I don't know, 2 days and 3 hours old is Gemma. Not Gemma, Emma. There's no G on it. Emma.
Oh, you guessed correct. Would you like to come up and claim your prize, young lady?
Oh, well, I sure would. Thank you so much. And she will walk on up onto the stage and just do a little wave to the crowd.
The crowd claps as she comes, and he hands her a little souvenir bucket with all the new merch for the town, which includes the new graphic of the lighthouse that now has the beacon shining, as well as coupons for some of the awesome shops in there, and then a few other random little pieces and things.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you so much, Mayor Jenkins. Well, I don't know if you know, but I won't be needing this. And she takes out the little small coupon book for the Hearthstone and hands it back over to him. Now you see if anybody else out there can use that.
Will do.
And then she'll sort of head back into the crowd with her little bucket. I think there's probably some candy or something. And she'll, as she's walking down, see Lily up there up front and just sort of, hey kid, and toss it over to her.
She grabs it. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Then I think she'll walk over. Lily, where's your daddy? He not joining you here?
Daddy had some work to do and he said he was going to join us, but he's running late like always.
Oh, well, Sugar, I'm so sorry to hear that. I know he wants to be here with you more than anything. He just takes that job so dang serious.
Yeah, a little too serious sometimes. As you see Noah creeping through the crowd as quietly as possible, trying to be not noticed so he can get behind Lily and scare her.
I think Emma clocks it and it's just, okay, I see it.
Yeah, well, that is so unfortunate, but at least, you know, Miss Nell here will bring you to the carnival. That's nice.
Yeah, it is really nice. Thank you, Nell. You're so kind.
Oh, you're welcome, hon.
That's going to be an interesting try and switch between those two.
We'll shoo off Nell soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know it's Friday and normally you guys come to see us. So I hope you guys are still coming to dinner.
Of course. Daddy says he won't miss our tradition no matter what. He stops all his work and he comes every Friday because that's why we have a deputy.
Absolutely. I just wanted to make sure that the carnival wasn't about to stop it. I want to see you later. And she loops her nose.
And she giggles. And then Noah comes up behind her and he's like, "Rah, tickle monster!" And she screams.
Emma sort of giggles a little bit and nudges Nell.
Yeah, isn't that a great thing to see? Love seeing a dad who just loves his daughter.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. It's nice to see. It's nice to see Noah taking a little break for a second.
Yeah, I can't imagine it'll last too long.
He does the tip of the hat thing, even though he doesn't wear a hat because he thinks they're stupid.
Of course he does.
But he says hi to Emma and says to save their seat because he'll be coming after we do some rides.
Good to hear it, Sheriff. You know, we keep that spot reserved for the two of you.
Aw, you're so sweet. And then he turns to Nell and says, "Thanks for looking after Lily. You're such a good friend. I found something." And he reaches in his back pocket and pulls out a book. And it's a really old book. "I found something when I was going through some old stuff in the sheriff's office. I thought you might like it."
Nell's eyes have lit up as she grabs the book. "Oh my gosh, I will take that out of your hands. Absolutely." You can see she is already... The carnival means nothing to Nell. She just sort of glances up at the stage and just does a nice little wave. "It was nice seeing you. I have things to do." She's going to go investigate the book that
the mayor is standing up on stage, and he lets out a real loud laugh with the microphone and then realizes, oh my God.
It does that awful feedback noise after he does it too. So as if the laugh wasn't enough to catch everybody like staring up front at what the hell is happening. Now this noise too. Nell does not notice. She has a beautiful treasure that she doesn't get many. At this point, she doesn't get many great treasures. That might change in her future. But for now, she hasn't gotten many things that she can really sort of start delving into and finding an old book like this. Either it's an old book and that's great. Possibly it's an old book and there might be some magic attached to it. And that is freaking fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So Marcus is visibly embarrassed about what just happened and then says, "Who's got a guess for BB?" And then Noah raises his hand. "Okay, Sheriff, what do you got?" "Well, BB makes great cookies. I'm going to go ahead and say 130. And the mayor says, "Oh my gosh, how did you guess? I know everybody and everything in this town," as he waves his finger in the air as everyone kind of looks down a little bit.
"I don't know about you." She looks over at Marcus. "I feel a little bit like that's cheating."
"Maybe, but nobody else has gotten a good close guess if anybody else can beat him."
129 and 3 months.
And he's like, oh my God, how are you so good at this?
It's a gift. Actually, the first one was a gift. This one, this was just Price is Right rules.
As Noah laughs. Well, come on and claim your other prize.
Oh, no, I couldn't. Lily, why don't you go get it?
Are you sure?
Absolutely, honey. I already got one.
And she gets so excited and she skips up onto stage. And she gets the bucket and then gives BB a big hug.
Oh, so cute.
I know. BB is a pillar of this community.
In my head, BB is sitting there in a wheelchair with an old shawl, but you've already said she is young looking. She looks 75 at most. Mm-hmm. She is not that image that's in my head.
As Lily comes down off the stage and is excited to go through her bucket of stuff. Well, if you don't have anything to do, would you like to hang out with me and Lily for some carnival rides?
Well, you know, that is such a sweet offer, Sheriff. You can see she's thinking for a minute. I think I can probably stick around for a little bit, but once they light that beacon, I gotta get back to work. You know, I don't want the others to not have a good day at the carnival, so I said I'd kind of go get things ready as soon as I could, but nobody wants to miss this.
Yeah, that's true. It is a monumentous occasion.
Absolutely. I mean,
just a year ago, like all the amazing things that's happened, this place has turned around.
I mean, I know I haven't been in Havenbrook very long, but I mean, I've been here for 5 years, so in the past year, just such changes.
I know. Who would have thought that Marcus would have been such a great change of pace?
I didn't realize how ineffective of a mayor the last guy was until we got Marcus.
Yeah, yeah. Well, him and my dad usually took the day off and went golfing. So,
you know, I just gotta say, there is no love in this heart for men who play golf. You know, I will go ahead and say women either. I just don't get it.
I don't either.
It's not fun.
No. And it's supposed to be calming. I get angry just looking at it.
I know. And all of the water and the everything they use to keep those golf courses looking that green. Mm-hmm. Just ain't natural.
No, not at all.
I think they chat a little bit more about golf courses and how awful they are and how you just shouldn't trust golfers.
Yep. As Lily's running around trying all the little kiddie rides and doing all the different things as he's holding her bucket of wins. And then when she goes to the carnival booths and she tries, but can't do it. Noah just does it once and wins her a big teddy bear. So now he's got arms and arms of stuffed animals as they're walking around the carnival.
Now, Sugar, I don't know why you didn't bring a whole backpack. You got a little too much to carry, I think. Here, why not? I'll carry a couple of those.
Thank you. Thank you so much. As he's struggling to carry all of them. I may have went overboard.
Well, I don't blame you. Lily's such a sweet gal.
She sure is. As you wander around and the carnival for a little bit, and I think everyone is trying to get everyone's attention because they're going to light the lighthouse in, I don't know, 20 minutes or so.
Whew, I am excited about this. You know, I'm not exactly sure why I'm so excited about the lighting of this beacon. It's just a lighthouse. Why are we all so excited?
Well, because before it was like it didn't exist, and now we are aware of it, and this is now a big thing of our town. It's an important piece that had been forgotten.
I suppose that's true. It just feels like such a small thing for everybody to be so excited about, but when you put it that way, I mean.
Well, have you been to the museum yet?
I haven't really. I haven't had a lot of time off of work, you know. They're always telling me I could take more time off, but
after inheriting that place, you know, there's just so much I don't know about the tavern, about Gus, about the town. There's just so much I don't know. I don't feel like I have a spare minute.
I feel you. With Lily and keeping her and doing all the sheriff stuff and cleaning up my dad's mess, which took a long time. He was terrible at his job. Not a great father, not a great sheriff. But I try to make time on the weekends, my days off for Lily, and she's very into the town history, so I figured we'd, you know, go and look. Did you know that Charlotte built the lighthouse as a safe haven beacon for those who, you know, needed it?
I didn't. I mean, I had heard that because, you know, there are whispers, of course, going around town, especially with all the rebranding, putting the lighthouses on everything, all that. But I don't know too much about the whole story. I might have to go check it out someday.
Yeah, I'm sure Lily would love to go. I'd gladly go with you. It's a fun little trek.
Well, that would be just lovely. She sort of eyes him for the first time in a long time, really. Noah's a regular at her tavern. Not a regular going there to get drunk. He's a regular who's there with his daughter every Friday night to have a father-daughter dinner, which is sweet and wonderful. And I don't think, do you think that he's told her really that one of the reasons they do this is his wife?
I think the first couple times they went after she disappeared, he mentioned to her to try to help make it a little bit special. So I'd say she went out of her way a little bit to make it seem a little bit more grander than it should have been.
Sure.
And it brought a smile to Lily's face in the longest of time. So they keep going because it cheers her up.
Yeah. So she knows that the wife is missing, all of that. So all of that means that Noah has been just the sheriff, just a regular. She knows the story, but that's kind of it.
And whatever rumors around town that have spread because, you know, gossip mill.
Exactly. This is one of the first times that she's really interacted with him outside of the tavern. I think she's probably interacted a little more with Lily. Not that she sees her often, but if she does see her in passing, they have a little bit of an interaction, but she hasn't interacted much with Noah before.
Right.
So
I think everybody in town interacts with Lily because she's usually walking from her house to the school or to the library. And she's very, hi, how are you doing today? And helping people who need to be helped because she's just that good of a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, if you looked at her, you wouldn't know that, you know, her mom was missing. She seems really well adjusted.
Right. So I think, but then I think a lot of people in town do know her mom is missing. So even though she's well adjusted and whatever, we all sort of are like, keep an eye on Lily.
Yeah.
Watch out for Lily. Make sure Lily is safe. She's like, she's like the community's daughter. Yeah. So it's the first time she's really considered Noah in all of this. Cause you worry about the kid more than you worry about the dad. And she's realizing that he is nicer than she thought he was going to be. Not that he's ever been mean or rude or anything, just he's the sheriff, so you just sort of assume he's going to have a stick up his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of eyes him, and then is, well, he's tall. Like, a little bit, and she's like, Emma, you roll that back. That man is married. His wife isn't here, but he is a married man. You knock it off. it would be lovely to go check out the museum with you and Lily.
Good, good, good. I mean, I know it's a little odd that we always come in on Friday night, and I'm just not only just the sheriff, but I'm also a patron. And I mean, you don't have to if you don't really want to, because I'm told I need to get out and make friends. And well, it's a little hard to make friends as an adult, and you're kind of like the only person I really know.
Oh my goodness. Her heart breaks a little bit for a second. She was had just like just started to see him as a real person, and now he's opened up further, and she's like, oh, I'm part of the problem. Well, of course, I absolutely understand. Honestly, the only reason I think I've really gotten to know anybody in this town is because of where I work. And I'm sure you meet all sorts of people, but people are going to be generally less friendly with the sheriff than with the tavern owner.
That's true. I do have to shake off that bad image my father set. But I mean, we haven't had any crime. Our teenagers are doing good. No one's had any issues. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, he looks around and he sees one of the booths and he knocks on wood. I'm not saying anything bad's going to happen, but I mean, I think the town's been, it's thriving for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, at least in the years I've been here, it's definitely doing better. You're making a world of difference, Sheriff. You just don't forget it.
I know. It's hard to think of myself as, you know, making a difference. Because, you know, I just do what I can. Like we all do. That's why I like Havenbrook so much.
But not everybody who can does.
That's true.
And she pats his arm and her hand just looks like itty bitty.
On his big old biceps.
Yeah, and she's like, all those muscles. Emma, knock it off.
As people are going around, you see little people dressed in old-timey garb. Some of they're trying a new thing. Maybe they'll do a little historical event where they try to retell a story that isn't so what the story of the town founding is and why the lighthouse is there during tours and stuff, because they're trying to bring in some tourism money to help the town, but not so sell your soul tourism, as more this is a quaint place to go if you and your family want some nice happy place to go.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of B&Bs are going to start popping up.
Yes, everyone's excited for the cash flow that's going to be coming into Havenbrook.
Psst, people who might someday play Havenbrook, that's a good thing that your character could be doing, running a B&B. Just a
or hint. Being, or one of those people that are coming to visit. You're welcome for opening that door.
Yes.
As they're going around, they're handing out little glasses of champagne to everybody as the sun is setting, and they're waiting for it to get completely dark, and then they're going to light the lighthouse so everybody can go ooh and ah.
She takes her little glass of champagne.
Are these real glass?
No, they're plastic. Noah looks and he takes off the bottom of his, unless you got a glass one.
She shows it to him. I think I did.
Huh. He sips his. Gosh darn it. They gave me the sparkling cider.
Emma starts to giggle again. This is, oh, well, are you working?
Well, I'm always working, but
it's well, okay. Here. No, no, no. And she takes his little glass that doesn't have the bottom on it and puts the glass in his hand. I have to go to work, so I'll do this one.
Okay, thank you. As the mayor goes up and he gives this long speech about how Havenbrook is more than a town, it's a community, and he's like, no, it's much more than a community, it's a family. And goes on about the meaning of family and how we want to welcome everybody with open arms, no matter the situation. And he goes over to the big old ceremonial electric light switch, like he's going to fry somebody. And there's a little bit of a countdown. And then Noah's like, are we supposed to count too?
I don't think so. But you know, the only time I ever saw anything like this.
New Year's Eve.
Well, I mean, it's like New Year's Eve meets an execution. The whole thing is a little weird.
And, They count down to one, and Marcus flips the switch, and this little trail of twinkle lights starts to go up the lighthouse as it starts to change different colors, and then more lights are added up before it reaches the top, and the top of the lighthouse shoots off a beacon of bright, white, pure light.
As the beacon starts to come to life, there's a weird, almost like a rumble as it starts to turn, as it makes its first full rotation in the top of the lighthouse. There's a pulse that comes out from the lighthouse. Everyone in town feels it. It hits as a wave, as just a strong outward force of energy. It almost feels like the earth is rumbling, like this maybe is an earthquake of some sort. But it's coupled with this very strange but exciting feeling that everyone in the crowd feels. And you can tell that they just turn to who they're next to and start talking immediately. What was that? What was that? What was that?
As Marcus says, I'm sorry, guys. And then fireworks go off. Little bit of technical difficulties.
Emma looks up at Marcus, up at the lighthouse, takes a little sip of her sparkling grape juice.
Well, I don't know about you, Sheriff, but that didn't seem quite like a technical difficulty to me.
I 100% agree with you, but look at these people. It's like nothing happened.
I know. They had a brief moment of what was that, and then a sorry technical difficulties smoothed it all right over.
It's a little weird. Well, okay. Well, we'll just keep an eye on things. If anything goes a little weird, we might have to look for sinkholes. Just be careful on your... you know what? Why don't I just escort you to the tavern? I'd feel a lot safer to make sure that you get there okay.
She looks down at Lily. No, I couldn't do that. We aren't going to be ready for customers right away anyway. And, you know, I like to set things up a certain way. I'll be all right. Don't you worry.
And he's like, okay. And then Lily's super excited and gives her a little bit of a hug on the leg as, she's probably close to the same height. She's 10. So gives her a little bit of a hug and as a thank you, and then grabs her dad's hand and it's like, oh, I guess we're going. I'll see you later tonight.
Of course. See you guys later. Have fun. And
it's like, Daddy, I want to ride the teacups until we puke. And he's like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Live a little. She calls as she walks out of the area. She finishes off her little bit of juice and throws away her cup in a trash bin.
Recycling bin, because Havenbrook has recycling, paper, and trash, and aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody actually uses what they're supposed to use for them.
That's true. So she throws away the plastic part and heads over to the Hearthstone Tavern. She starts getting everything set up once she gets in there. Things seem a little weird in the Hearthstone when no one's here. It's not her favorite. As with a lot of places in the hub of downtown Havenbrook, she's got quarters that are attached to the building so that she doesn't have to pay rent somewhere else. But being down here in the part where there's usually customers, or at least bartenders or cooks or wait staff, there's usually somebody else here. But she gave them all a late start today so that they could be there for this. She just feels a little shiver, and her body does a little, ooh, I don't know what that was about, but no, I don't like it. And she kind of goes through getting stuff set up. The little booth that Noah and Lily usually sit at on Fridays, she puts out a little reserved sign on it and sets up a cute little, I think she sets up a cute little bouquet of flowers in the middle. Most of the other tables don't really have a centerpiece. If they do, it's one of those little cheap candles. little tea lights, and has everything sort of set up nicer than the others with their full utensils out and whatever. She acts like they're a full-blown restaurant for them, even though everybody else in town is fully aware that is not really what we do. As she's getting everything set up and she's
taking stuff out of the kitchen to start prepping.
Yes. She doesn't do a lot of kitchen prep herself because the head chef is a generous term. There's two cooks in this kitchen. And the one who you could deem as the head cook would absolutely throw a fit if he saw that she was trying to prep food. She's just taking the things out that need to be out and ready for him when he gets here. Setting up little menu boards, wiping off tables, lighting the big fireplace. So everything is all set and just ready to go. And as she's doing all of that, her staff starts to slowly filter in. Takes a little while before all that happens. People who work here just because, I'll just give you kind of a rundown of people as they enter. I think the first one is going to be Ethan. Ethan is a bartender. He is tall and lean, but he's got a strong and commanding presence. He's got dark hair and blue eyes like the sheriff, but he's got that stubble 5 o'clock shadow thing going on. He usually wears a blue button-up and black pants when he's hanging out behind the bar. Even though he sort of has that commanding presence, he is very calm and observant and good at knowing, hey, people need orders there and there. He can control that very well. So he's a good bartender. Second person to come in is going to be Letta. She's one of the waitresses. She's young and kind of bubbly. She's got shoulder length blonde hair, kind of straight. She is a bigger gal, but still very cute. She's very sweet, just a charming disposition. And all of the older folks who come to the Hearthstone are her regulars, and they don't really want to be waited on by the other wait staff, who is Jackson, who sneaks in and no one really notices. When they finally realize he's there, he's been there for a few minutes. He kind of keeps to himself. He's tall and lanky. He always wears just a black button-up and black pants. Looks very, I am waitstaff. And Letta looks very floral print and cute and just wears a little apron and doesn't necessarily look like she's supposed to be the waitstaff. Jackson is very good at his job. He can dart through crowds very well. He remembers orders. He's very good at his job. Letta, technically, worse at her job, but friendlier. The kitchen staff starts to come in. There's Thomas, who is the head chef. He's kind of more middle-aged, but he's kind of rugged, and he's salt and peppery. And you can see in his brown eyes that he's just got a spark of intensity and passion. Okay, real talk, folks. Thomas gives real daddy vibes. So, in case anybody's looking for that.
Daddy.
The right behind him, because she is trying to learn as much as she can from him, is Sarah. She is the other cook. She is young. She's got ash brown hair that falls to about her shoulders that she pulls back. And she just seems kind of slender and graceful and ethereal. Or just like a real juxtaposition to Thomas. They don't look like they would work really well together, but they kind of are presenting what the other person is lacking. So their kitchen works pretty seamlessly. And the last person of the staff to come in is Chloe. And she's the second bartender. Normally they sort of toggle who's going to be on and off on days. Sometimes Emma will cover the bartending shifts, things like that. But tonight, because once the carnival is kind of shut down, they're expecting that there might be an influx of people coming to the bar to get a late meal, which is why the cooks are here this late as well. Just everybody is kind of here. Chloe has long black hair. She dresses very elegantly. Her brown eyes are kind of, she looks very determined. And at first glance, she doesn't seem super approachable. My bartenders are not very approachable. but once you actually start talking to her, she's kind and she understands what you're trying to get to and what you need. She just has a very, she's seen a Devil Wears Prada too many times, or the Kardashians a lot. She's just, once she gets past that, as she gets a little older, she'll be a lovely person. But right now, she looks a little standoffish. That's everybody who works at the bar. So they got full staff and they are getting set up. Everybody has a little powwow get together. All right, now everybody knows what you're going to do tonight. We might have a big influx. We might have nobody. I don't know exactly how tonight is going to go. If it looks like nobody, y'all know you can go early. I'm not going to keep you here away from your loved ones and families if we aren't busy, okay? I had a feeling. And they'll sort of finish up. And I think Ethan pulls Emma to one side. Are you okay? I can just sense that something is off, Emma. What's going on? Look, Ethan. And she just sort of looks around to make sure nobody's listening. I don't know what exactly it is, but I just got a feeling in my bones that there is something weird going on tonight. And I can't shake it. And he nods. Okay. What do you need? I already got what I need, sugar. You're here. Everybody is here. If something goes wrong, we can handle it. There's nothing we can't handle together, right?
Right. And he does. They do this cute little pinky thing. Like, yeah, I heard what you said. And he goes back behind the bar.
Ethan's supernatural ability is telepathy. So he is able to pick up on stuff very quickly when people are feeling a way, he sort of tunes in. If anyone is very interested, I can give you a rundown of everybody's special ability. They all have them because this is Havenbrook. But I don't want to weigh us down in the story.
Oh, this could be for our lovely NPC collection.
Yes. All of these wonderful, beautiful NPCs will be available in Havenbrook, the game. Was that cheesy enough?
Yep.
Okay.
Then check Emma's your gonna... local game store, coming in never.
Don't say never.
That's true. In the near, far, 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 far future.
If things go a very interesting way. Okay, then Emma's going to go and turn the sign to open. And there's a little light. It's very old fashioned. It's an old lantern or like street light that's affixed to the outside of the tavern. And she opens the door and reaches up and kind of, she barely even touches it, and it lights, and she pulls her hand back, and sort of looks at her hand. Well, now, isn't that interesting? All right, then. No time to think about it. And heads on in as they prepare for their dinner guests.
The first to arrive is Noah and Lily.
Sam, we all need to know. Is there any Vom on Noah's shirt?
There is not any Vom on Noah's shirt, but he looks green.
When they come in, right this way, you two. We got your table all set up. We'll be with you in just a second, all right? And she goes over to the bar. Chloe, sweetie, I'm going to need you to get me something real quick. Something to take a... calm down a stomach that's been on the tilta cups, the whatevers, too many times.
And she just sort of nods over at Noah. Chloe's like, oh, yeah, I gotcha. I gotcha. I can do this. Something minty, I think. She opens up a little station. Of the two bartenders, Chloe is the super mixologist. Ethan's a good bartender. Chloe is all about crazy mixed drinks, or you saying, I don't know what I want. Make me something, or whatever. Sometimes her and Ethan kind of do that work together with people like that, because his ability is the telepathy. So when people say, I don't know what I really want, there's something in their head that they do want, and they don't either know how or want to verbally ask for. So then Chloe starts pulling a bunch of mint out of a little case. All of her ingredients are things that have been made or grown around Havenbrook. They're all local stuff. So she's gathering some mint and then adding a splash of this and a little bit of that and a little squeeze of this, and eventually comes up with a little drink. It's in a martini glass, and it's got, looks vaguely light green, and it's got a sprig of mint sticking out of the top. And she says, here you go. That should calm him right down. And Emma will come back and set it in front of Noah. That one's on the house.
And he looks up with the big old doughy puppy dog eyes. Thank you.
It should make you feel better, honey.
He immediately starts sipping it.
Yes. I will go ahead and, just because I used it, throw it out there that Chloe's ability is that she is a potion maker.
Ooh. Somebody gonna be a witch.
Yeah. So she is good at making potions, but she does that by just using stuff from the area. She doesn't realize she's making potions. Again, she has flavored it as mixologist, but you have received a potion of calm that tummy down.
Awesome. As things are going along, the place starts to get busier and busier as people are actually in droves coming.
Ooh, all right. There's a lot of people here. Okay. She's running around making sure everything's going okay. Letta, bless her heart, sweet, but takes too long talking at tables. You know, that waitress that's just too friendly and knows everything about everyone, so can talk to people for 15 minutes and then not go check on her other tables. Like that. And she's very touchy as well. So she always has like a hand on a shoulder of somebody or something like that. So she's not helping matters. Poor Jackson is running around like a madman and getting the job done. He's excelling, doing really great. People are getting their food and feeling very... At this point, I'm starting to feel like I'm going to end up telling everybody's magical abilities because touching on all of them.
Or you keep it a mystery and just role play around it.
Everybody is enjoying their food a lot. Everybody's in a state of kind of excitement. It was a thrilling day. They're very tired, but they're still excited and thrilled and proud of their town. As they're eating, that feeling is kind of bolstered. Being here at the Hearthstone, still surrounded by a bunch of townsfolk, it just feels good. It's a good feeling here in this community. And yeah, everyone's having a good time. As Emma's kind of walking through, checking on everybody, she overhears somebody saying,
man, it's getting hot in here. There's just, it's a lot of people in that fire. Oh, it's hot.
She says, oh, that's unfortunate. She doesn't go and talk to him about it, but she's actively thinking, we gotta cool this place down. I need like a cool breeze whipping through this place would just probably do wonders. You know, the fireplace has a lot of ambiance, so I don't really want to nix the fireplace, but cooling the place down might be a good idea. Yeah.
Very soon after that, there is a nice, gentle air circulation throughout the space to alleviate how everybody is feeling. As everything's going okay, she's going to come over and check on you guys one more time.
How was everything? Did you enjoy your meal?
Yes, of course. It was great as always, Emma. Lily, what did you think of the meal? Lily looks at her and says, it was the best chicken nuggets I've ever had.
Perfect. You know, Chef Thomas, he will just love to hear that. I'll make sure I'll let him know, okay?
Thank you.
Of course. Oh, is that? Looks like your friend Nell is here.
And she points over to Nell is here, but she's here with her family from Serendipity.
Now, that's nice. It's so nice when everybody can kind of come together. I just love seeing that.
And as we're chatting, we hear a scream from the back room.
Instantly, Noah gets up as reaction, like, what's going on? Kind of like a thing between Lily and Noah. She goes straight over to Nell, and Nell knows the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Emma has heard it, and she takes off. Noah will, I assume, be relatively on her heels. Probably actually surpassing her a bit because he's got a longer stride. But she's like, you don't know where you're going.
Right.
Yeah. They head towards the back. They go through the swinging doors and the whatever into the back till they get back by the offices. And back here, you see Chloe and Jackson kind of crumpled on the floor.
What in hell is going on here?
So that's the first thing we see. And the second thing we see is against the wall is a huge crack that light is coming out of. And it's getting bigger by the second. It's not just a crack anymore. Now it's expanding, getting wider. Jackson turns and looks, and he helps Chloe up.
Chloe, I'm so sorry. I came run. I didn't know if, I thought you were going to get hurt.
It's okay. It's okay, Jackson. I know. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry, everybody. I was too close to that. I got closer to it and I felt I could see my hand getting sucked in to the crack. I don't know what would have happened if you didn't come, Jackson.
And she just is getting a little emotional and weird. And Emma looks over, looks at the crack in the wall.
Okay, I'm going to need you guys to get everybody out, okay?
She goes over to Jackson and Chloe.
Chloe, sweetheart, I know. I need you to pull it together for a little bit. And then you go and you have a breakdown, okay? Because breakdowns are important and nobody ever stresses that enough. But we got to get all the customers out of this store, out of this tavern, not a store. I don't know what this is, but we got to make sure nobody is panics. Safe.
We'll just say it's a gas leak and we're taking care of it.
That's good. That's good thinking. All right, everybody, go spread the word. There's been a gas leak in the back. Everything is all right. Everybody is safe. Nobody needs to worry about a thing. Meals are on us. Get them out.
Mm-hmm. And Jackson nods and Chloe goes out with the amount of staff we have and everything. The word gets spread relatively quickly. Emma's not worried. She knows that her staff is good and they can handle this. She had them here for a reason.
Sheriff, I knew something was going weird today. This feels like too many weird things in a row.
Yes, it does. So, what's with this crack?
It's never been here before.
The light coming out of it is kind of shimmery and twinkly and kind of blue.
I don't know how do we stop it? It's just getting bigger and bigger.
I have no idea. I don't think they taught this to us in
the academy?
In training.
Yeah.
In training. He's just nervously laughing.
I'm not exactly sure either. I wonder if...
And she steps closer to the crack to try and get a better look at what exactly is happening.
Taking into account for the fact that Chloe had an issue with it, he instinctively just grabs her hand. The one to the back, just in case.
She has one hand sort of reached out towards the crack and the other hand in the back, and she looks over at him. I appreciate it, Sheriff, but I think and her hand reaches further, and you can see that her fingers are kind of vanishing into a murky light without even touching the wall, just getting relatively close to it. Sheriff, I appreciate it, but I haven't been here long, but the tavern is mine, and I haven't had many things that were mine to fight for before, and I can't let anything happen to my staff or the people of this town. Something in me knows what I have to do. And she takes a step forward into the crack.
He takes a deep breath, and he's like, oh, God, why did I have to see this? I can't. Oh. And he's like, I'm sorry, Lily. And he goes after her.
As Emma and Noah walk through the crack, they step into a world of pure magic. The colors are more color than you've ever seen. You didn't know green was supposed to look like that. Just all of the plants are human size or better. There's a million things happening all at once. There's flying creatures that look like they might just be ladybugs, but they're the size of a VW beetle. They're gigantic. But there's also bunnies that could fit on the tip of your finger. Everything here is disorienting. And as we're trying to get our bearings, what we now know is a portal closes behind us. And that, I believe, is where we will end this episode of Havenbrook.
Yeah, yeah, cliffhanger!
Woo!
Thanks for joining us on this lovely ride of episode 2 of Havenbrook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one I think is called The Portal, but that might change.
Yeah, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We usually figure it out after the second part. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And before we start discussing things to ruin our Zod after it, we're going to stop right here.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, what?
What's that?
What's what?
Did you get new dice?
Quit calling me out. I'm addicted.
I understand. I am also a dice goblin. That's why I need to know where you got them.
I got them at Die 20 Collective.
Okay. What? Do they just have dice?
No, they have other things. They have wooden dice towers for dice rollers. They have awesome. Words are escaping me today. What is that? The thing that I use to roll my dice on?
The hexagonal.
Yeah.
Dice tray. Word for
dice tray. Okay. They have dice trays. And they have different bundles that you can buy. So you can get mystery dice and you can get a bunch of different D&D stuff. And right now they have a sale going on where you can get 50% off select items.
Oh, that's great.
It's so great. Especially if you're trying to save money on your
addiction. Addiction.
Maybe.
Weren't you also saying that you got that really cool bag from them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The one that I used for our Sunday game. Yes, I did. It's the bag of holding. It's a canvas bag, and I thought it'd be like one of those cheapy bags that they probably got really super cheap, but it's very high quality.
Yeah,
and it's also in one of their mystery bundles. Very durable, and there's so much space. I was so amazed by how much it could hold.
Well, when you're a magical bag, you have to hold a lot.
True. Speaking of which, I don't know if everybody knows, but we are now an affiliate with Die 20 Collective, which is super awesome.
It is really great. And yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and as a special treat to you guys, we have a wonderful code that is for 10% off anything in the store.
That is an amazing deal, especially on those bundles where you can get that awesome bag and then all of those other dice. Mm-hmm. That's a really great deal.
Very good. Very, very good. And in case you guys didn't know, it is code PARTYOF2. That is PARTYOF2.
The number.
Yes, the number.
Always the number.
Yes. And don't forget to go check out our Instagram, because currently right now, too, we're doing a race to 100 for a dice giveaway for every 100 followers.
It's 1,000, Sam. We have surpassed 100.
Race to 1,000 for every 100 followers. We'll be doing a dice giveaway to celebrate our affiliate with Die 20 Collective.
Yeah. We hope that you guys go check them out. They're a really great company, and we are very excited to be partnering with them.
I am super excited. And stay tuned, because I have lots to talk about from them that you probably aren't aware of.
Okay. You're going to have to tell me more.
But another time. I'll definitely tell you more. But don't forget to use our lovely 10% off code at Die 20 Collective. What is that, Natasha? Do you remember what I said?
Of course I do. It's Party of Two. And that is, again, as always, the number 2. Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We love you. Bye. And come back to Havenbrook soon.
Thank you all for joining us on this story from Havenbrook, our narrative RPG. The stories we tell here on Party of Two, Roll of the Dice, are helping to create the town and develop rich backgrounds for the NPCs. Thank you so much for being part of this journey. If you have any questions or comments about Havenbrook, or you'd like to help us playtest the game, please email us at joinpartyof2@gmail.com or send us a message on Instagram, username joinpartyof2. For both of those, that is the number 2. Join us for new episodes every Friday. Want to support the podcast? Subscribe to Potrod and give us a rating. If you leave a name you'd like us to use in the rating, we'll include a thank you in an upcoming episode. You can also follow us on Instagram. We love you. We miss you. We'll see you next week.